And we're holding on page Tzadik Dalet in Brachos, the paragraph Baal HaRa'amim, middle of Oiz Kuf Chav Zayin. The Mishnah had said another thing that you make a bracha on is Baal HaRa'amim on thunder. So the Gemara asks, on thunder. So the Gemara asks, Mai Ra'amim? What is thunder? Now the question, Marsha explains further along, the question is not so much what is thunder, everybody knows what thunder is. The question is, the Gemara is wondering what causes it. And particularly, the Gemara is going to discuss later. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss what is the purpose for which Hashem made it. Lightning, okay, you know, has a certain practical benefit. In fact, it fertilizes the ground and does various other things. But what exactly does Hashem could have made lightning without thunder? So we'll see. We'll discuss later on what the ruchniyistika reason behind thunder. But first, the Gemara is going to ask what the gashniyistika cause of it. So my ra'amim, Omer Shmuel, anoni de'asya begalgala. It means when clouds come and roll around one next to another. So Rashi gives two explanations. One, begalgala, Rashi says, it means that clouds rub one against the other and you hear a noise from it. Which in fact, I mean, you know, in modern terms, what they say, the thunder is basically the sound of the lightning. And the lightning is an electrical spark. So you have a noise from it, just like when you hear static electricity, it crackles. So it's a very loud crackle, basically. But, yes, they do talk about that it's caused by clouds, by clouds, not really rubbing, but coming one near the other and causing an electric current to flow. So that's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation Rashi says is, so you have the galgal, as in the Rambam describes, we have mentioned here and there in the Gemara, that you have galgalim, you have spheres that surround the earth, that carry the sun and the moon and the various stars and planets and what have you. And you have also the galgal hayomi, there's one larger sphere that surrounds all the other ones and turns from east to west. And that's what makes the sun and the moon and the stars rise in the east and set in the west, because they're like gears meshing together. So now Rashi describes that you have clouds rubbing against that galgal, against that sphere, and making a noise. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, kill ramcha begalgal. The pasuk says the sound of your thunder in the galgal. So according to the first explanation, it means when the clouds are rolling and rubbing one against the other. According to the second one, it's when the clouds are rubbing against the galgal. Heiru brokin teino. The world is lit up with lightning. Rugs the batirasha oretz. The earth, it trembles, and the earth trembles and shakes. So we see, in other words, that there's a connection between ram, between thunder, and the galgal, as we're saying over here. So that's Shmuel's basis for his explanation. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say a different explanation. Anoni deshapi mayel hadodi. Thunder is what you get when the clouds are pouring water one into the other. Shenemar, as you have a pasuk, the kol tita hamoin mayim l'shamayim, at the sound when Hashem puts a great amount of water in the heavens. So in other words, the point is you have a kol, you have a loud sound, a sound of thunder when there is water being poured around in the heavens from one cloud to another.
So that causes the lightning.
So that causes the thunder. We're talking about the lightning. We're going to get to later, but right now the Gemara is dealing with the thunder. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer Barka Takifa. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says what happens is when you have a very powerful lightning bolt, Deborit Ananaya, which you have a lightning bolt that flashes in the clouds, Umitbug Zizi Debarza, and it breaks pieces of hail. So now you have the noise that you hear of the thunder is the noise of hail being shattered by the force of that electrical current of the lightning. Rav Asi, or Ashi Yomar, a fourth one, Anoni Chalchuli Mechalchuli, the clouds are hollow, but Osi Ziko Manshevapumayu, what happens is you have a wind comes and blows over the tops of the clouds, over the hollow insides of the clouds, the Dummy Kizika Pumdoni, so it resembles the kind of sound that you hear if you take empty barrels and you make a wind pass over them, then you hear like an echoing sound, that's the sound of the thunder that you hear. So we have four different explanations. And the Gemara says, when we stab a kid of Acha by Yaakov, it's most logical among these four to say Rab Acha by Yaakov's reason, the Boruch Barka, because he's saying that it's associated with the lightning. And we see, Taka, you see a flash of lightning, so he's saying two things. He's saying there's lightning involved, and they're saying that there's breaking up of, of crystals of hail involved. And we see the Bodhic Bartha, we see a lightning flash, and then we see a noise, and then we hear a noise from the clouds, which is the thunder, Mitra, and the next thing is we see it's raining. So therefore, so it makes sense that that's the order of things. You have the lightning brings about the lightning brings about the breaking up of hailstones, of ice crystals, which then those fall down as precipitation, as rain. So, Abhinna points out at the bottom of the page that the point is that you would think the best thing should be it should always rain gently. Who needs the thunder? Who needs the lightning? Who needs all those things? So the Gemara is informing us that no, Hashem has very good reasons to make these things happen. As the Gemara is going to explain later, that there's a reason for thunder, and for that reason, the Chachamim also said. So this is Maharsha explains what was bothering the Gemara also is why is thunder so important to deserve its own bracha, especially if it generally comes together with lightning. So and the answer is so we're seeing that there are these major weather patterns going on that cause it. So therefore, it deserves a bracha, and as the Gemara is going to say later, there's a ruchniistic reason behind it. There's a ruchniistic purpose for it.
Scientifically, they could show that there's ice.
So the clouds do in fact contain ice crystals. Yes. So that's the right. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that it works well with what Abaha Bayak is saying. Yeah. They're tiny. Yeah, but still they can be called borod. I mean, you know, hail comes in different sizes, right? You know, it's like the old joke how they measure hail before golf balls were invented. You know, yeah. But in fact, you do have hail comes in tiny particles also. Then we call it sleet. But still, yeah. Next, the Mishnah had said Ba'ala Ruchos. Another thing you say bracha for is for winds. So my Ruchos, what kind of winds are we talking about? Obviously, you don't make a bracha every time the wind blows. Abaye is Zappa. So Abaye says we're talking about a storm wind. So it can mean a hurricane or a tornado. Actually, Tosfos brings an idea that for a particularly strong one, like a hurricane, you would say Shekocho Grasa Malolam, whereas for a more gentle one, you would say Osa Maisa Bereshis. Lamaisa, the post can say, we can't really distinguish how even a gentle one, we don't mean every time there's a gentle breeze, obviously not saying Osa Maisa Bereshis, it has to have some strength to it. So practically speaking, you only say Shekocho Grasa Malolam, and you only say it when you have a particularly strong, noteworthy storm, like a hurricane or something like that. But Amar Abaye, so Abaye says in this connection, Dmiri Dizapa Galilia Lehav. We have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim that you never have a strong wind like that at night. What's the greatness of that is, Maharsha points out, because it's a chesed of the Eivishter, people are asleep at night. They're not going to be able to protect themselves from it. A tornado all of a sudden comes and hits in the middle of the night, and you're a goner, Chas V'Shalom. So, therefore, the Eivishter does a favor, and they only come during the day. So the Gemara asks, V'Hokach Zin and Dehavi, we see that all the time, that you have hurricanes and tornadoes and whatnot by night. The answer is, Ahudas Chuli B'Yamam. Yeah, but it began already during the day. So therefore, the point is, during the day, you already knew it's coming, and you know to take steps to protect yourself. That all of a sudden it should hit in the middle of the night, that you don't need. But Amar Abaye, also Abaye says, Gnuri de Zappa Beis Shori Loikoi. We have the Kabbalah that a storm like that never lasts for 2 hours. L'kayim mashinem alay sokom pamayim tzora. As the Pasuk, that fulfills what the Pasuk says, a tzora will not stand up twice. The point is, Maharsha says that each hour there's a different mazel, there's a different siddur for the Eibishter's name that gives our hashpa during that time. So therefore, each hour is considered a separate path. So the Gemara asks again, "V'hokka hazin and dekori?" The fact is, we do see storms that last for 2 hours. The answer is the masik beni beni. Yeah, but there's a break in the middle. So in other words, Maharsha says, so what the Gemara is explaining the Pasuk is, Lois Sokom Pamayim, it will not stand for 2 hours straight, because if it did, then that would be Tzara. That would be a Tzara, that would be a trouble, and it would be very destructive. So like this, the Eibishter gives you a break, and you have a break in the middle of it. Like, for example, with a hurricane, you have an eye passes over, it's calm, the marshal, so you have such things that the Eibishter does a favor and doesn't allow it to be completely destructive. Next, Vala Brokin, the Mishnah had said, for lightning, so again, as we talked about yesterday, since lightning almost always comes with thunder, so therefore, the Alter Rebbe describes, in Hilchos Birkas HaNenin, in Seder Birkas HaNenin, that the minute develops to instead say pretty much almost all the things that the Mishnah says that you can say Shekochu Grasim Ala Olam. The Gemara establishes that if we want, you could say Osem Ayis Bereishis instead. So the minute developed to say Osem Ayis Bereishis on the lightning and Shekochu Grasim Ala Olam on the thunder. So you're not just repeating the same bracha twice. And the Alter Rebbe explains, since the thunder shows Hashem's power more so than the lightning, as the Gemara is going to say soon, thunder is created in order to make people fear Hashem, then therefore they picture Kohud Brasi for that, that it shows Hashem's power and his might, whereas for lightning they use Osem Ayis Bereishis. So my brokim, so what do we mean by lightning? Now what kind of a question is that? Everybody knows what lightning is. So let's give the answer and then we'll explain. So Omar Rava Bartha. So Rava says it means lightning. So what does that mean? So Marsha explains the vort is all the other ones were mentioned in the plural, ala zikin, ala zva ois, and so forth. Now, not always do those things come in. Now, many times those things come in groups. Let's say, for example, when we ala zikin, for example, where we said one possibility means meteorites, you usually see groups of meteors in the sky. Same thing with zvois. We said when you have an earthquake, you usually have various shocks one after the other, and so forth.
What's
even? We said that Zikin has there's two possibilities. One is that it's meteorites, the other is comets.
What is meteorites?
Meteorites are shooting stars. You look up and you go out in the middle of nowhere, sometimes you'll see it. Certain times of the year, particularly, you'll have a better chance of seeing them. You'll see streaks of light in the sky.
Even if there's no rain.
Even if there's no rain or anything. So modern scientists tell us that they're basically tiny little particles of dust hitting the atmosphere and burning up in it. And then you see from the earth, you see a bright glow over there. Yeah. Anyway, the Mishnah had said, you say Osem Ayis Bereishis on such things, but those usually come in groups. So it makes sense to use Zikin in the plural. The same thing, Zva Ois, we said means earthquakes. Well, earthquakes, again, usually come in clusters. And the same thing, all the other ones. Lightning, on the other hand, sometimes have a single lightning bolt. So therefore, the Gemara was bothered by, Marashal says, do you in fact make the bracha on only a single bolt of lightning? And Rava tells us, yes, that's why Rava uses the singular, barka, which is the Aramaic for one lightning bolt, that yes, even if you see only one, you make a bracha. Agav, by the way, so if the storm is close by, then you usually have the thunder and lightning together, then you only make one bracha on the two of them. Then you make Osem Ayis Bereishis, and that covers both of them. When you have, usually you have a few seconds between them, because usually the storm is a little ways away. So then you say separate brachas on them. No, you just say each one as you experience it. By the way, you don't make brachas on the lightning or thunder again during the same storm. Only if the clouds clear up and then it gets overcast and you have another storm, then you would make the brachas again. But you don't make the bracha multiple times for the thunder or the lightning during the same storm. Incidentally, in this connection, by the way, a while back I asked Rabbi Ozdeva about this. He was saying that you should really only be making the bracha on lightning only if you see the actual bolt of lightning. You know, here in New York, you don't very often. Most of the time, you just see a flash in the sky. According to what he was telling me, not necessarily would you make a bracha on lightning on that. There is a good deal of discussion among poskim also. Sometimes you have what they call heat lightning, which is basically the lightning is just, it's not really, it's from a storm, but the storm is so far away that you don't really, not only you don't see the bolt, you don't hear the thunder either. It's too far. So there's a discussion among poskim whether you should say the bracha on that. Anyway. So that's one point. But Slach makes a different point. He says that the Gemara was bothered by, given that you always have lightning before thunder, or you have them simultaneously, why did the Mishnah put thunder first? Does that imply maybe that Brokim of the Mishnah are not thunder, but rather some other kind of phenomenon that you might see in the sky? And the answer is no. Rava is telling you it means Baraka, means exactly what you think it means. It means lightning. The Amar Rava, and the Gemara continues, Rava says, Barka Yechida, when you have a single bolt of lightning, or Barka Chivra, or when you have a white bolt of lightning, or Barka Yeruksa, or when you have a green or yellowish one, Yoruk in Gemara terminology can mean green, it can mean yellow, sometimes it can even mean blue. Anyway, the Anoni de Sokan, the Keren Ma'arabis, the Asian, the Keren Dremis, and when you see clouds that come up from the west corner, and then they come over you from the south, from the southern corner, And also when you see two clouds where one of them is rising one to greet the other, it actually says that they bump into each other. Kulu kashyan, all of those are bad. All of those mean that severe weather is coming.
So all these
various things that we mentioned. So the clouds banging together, we said, causes thunderstorms. It was one of the explanations in the Gemara before. It's the cause of thunderstorms. As far as these various other ones, they have, for example, they talk about when there's a tornado, sometimes you see like greenish lightning before it. So that may be what Rava means over here by Barka Yeruksa. When you see a greenish bolt of lightning, it means a tornado is on the way. And similarly with some of the other ones. The Gemara asks the mind after a minute, why do we need to know that thing? And the answer is l'mivi rachmi, that you should be davening for rachmanus from the Eveshter, that the storm shouldn't be that severe. However, the Gemara adds v'hani mivi b'leil. All of this is only if you see these things by night. But if you see these things happening in the morning, then there's no substance to it because morning clouds tend to dissipate very quickly. In fact, Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Hani Anani Tzatzal Lesbuhu Meshasha. Clouds in the morning don't have any substance to them. They tend to dissipate very quickly. Which also the Gemara in Tainus also mentions. The relevance of that is that if you see clouds in the morning during a time when there's a drought, don't think it necessarily means rain's coming because they may just disappear as fast as they came. And in fact, you have a pasuk that expresses this idea. The Navi says to the Jewish people, your chesed is like a morning cloud. In other words, Hashem is saying, even when you sometimes do good, it disappears as quickly as a cloud in the morning. So you need to do better. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rapapa La'abaya, Ha Amri Inchi. What do you mean? Don't people say, Kidemiftach Bavi Mitra, if when you open your doors in the morning you see rain, Bava means the door or the gate, so when you open the gate in the morning if you see rain, Bar Chamra, you, the donkey driver, Moich Sakich, you may as well fold back up your bag, the gunny, and go back to sleep. Donkey drivers in those days were like, you could think of them as the equivalent of truck drivers nowadays. They bring produce and they bring supplies from point A to point B. So among other things, they would bring grain from point A to point B. The point is that Rapapa is saying, the popular expression has it, that if he wakes up in the morning and sees it's raining, he may as well go back to sleep because he's not going to make much of a profit on his selling grain. Because there's rain falling, everybody knows, therefore prices are soon going to come down because now it means there's going to be a nice sized crop. So therefore, he's not going to be able to sell his grain at much of a profit. So he may as well go back to sleep. So we see, in other words, that he's waking up in the morning and it's raining. So you see, in other words, that clouds in the morning do have substance and they do produce rain. And the answer is, like Kasha, Hodakota Be'ibra, Hodakota Ba'anon. The difference is, whether you see the sky is overcast with thick clouds, then yes, it means that actual rain is going to come from them, as opposed to if it's overcast with thin clouds, then no, it means they're going to dissipate very, they're going to evaporate very quickly and nothing much is going to come from them. And that's the kind, so the kind that we tell the donkey driver, you may as well go back to sleep, is talking about thick clouds. The pasuk is talking about thin clouds. Not always, but we're saying that if you see them in the morning, if you see heavy clouds in the morning, then yeah, the rain is likely to be a substantial rain. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Yishur ben Levi, Loi Nivru Ra'omim El Kedei Lifshutak Mumiyas Shebalei. The only reason Hashem created thunder is in order to straighten out the crookedness of the heart. In other words, Maharsha says, again, like we said before, what purpose does thunder serve exactly? Lightning, Mela, serves a purpose, we can understand. But what purpose does thunder serve when the Eveshta could have just as well made that there'll be lightning without thunder? So the reason is, in order that it should startle people, so Maharsha says particularly the minim, that they should do tshuva. In fact, he says that earlier in the Masechta, when we talked about the 18, later 19 brachas of Shemana Esrei, we said that so later on they added Birkas HaMinim, and the Gemara discussed over there, given that we have various Ramazim, Sukkim, and in other places for 18 brachas, then there needs to be a remez for this 19th bracha that they added. So we said in Mizmor LeDavid Hovel Hashem Bnei Elim, Kapitel Chavtes, there's 18 times where it says, there's 18 times where it says Hashem's name, where it says Yudke Vavke, and then you have it says Kael HaKovid Hirim, that Hashem thunders. So that they use as the basis for Birkas HaMinim. So therefore, Maharsha says that connects that with over here, that the Eved Shemei, that thunder should startle and frighten the Minim, that they should do tshuva. As the pasuk says, Hashem made that people should fear him. Before, we learned that in connection with dreams, that Hashem sometimes gives, even said Hashem gives tzaddikim bad dreams in order to startle them and then get them to do a greater level of tshuva. So now we're saying that if people have an actual crookedness in their heart, then thunder helps straighten that out.
They're afraid.
Partially, the person hears thunder; it startles them, and it should make them, it should shake them out of their complacency and realize that the Eidishta runs the world, and they better be, and they better be on good terms with him. Yeah.
Everyone
hears thunder. Yeah, it startles them. The Romans in those times had one of their main getchkas, one of their main gods they called the Thunderer, like that. They considered that to be his big koyach. So maybe that's why the Gemara points out of here, no, forget about thunder is not his. Thunder is not his thing. Thunder is the Eivishka's thing in order to make Minim or other people who might be believing in such shkosim to get them to realize the truth. If a person sees the rainbow in the clouds, he needs to fall on his face because the Shechina appears in the rainbow. Now, we don't do that. Hold that thought a second. As the Pasuk says, Yechezkel describes at the end of his description of Maisa Merkava, he sees the highest HaKodesh who are attending on Hashem and carrying Hashem's throne and so on and so forth. And he says, Kemare HaKeshes HaShiyeh Va'anun V'Gomer, like the appearance of the rainbow that appears in the clouds. And he continues, Hum Dmus Marek V'od Hashem. This is the semblance of the appearance of the glory of Hashem. So therefore, so in the rainbow, there's a semblance of the glory of the Shekhinah of the Eivishter. And in fact, he continues, I saw that and I fell on my face. So therefore, so Rabbi Alexander is saying we should do the same thing.
Which
note is Yechezkel? This is Yechezkel, said the Zen. We have that parak of Yechezkel, that third of the first day Shavuos. So yeah, we read it then. So, because in fact the connection is, by the way, that by Matan Torah, the Jewish people also saw the Maase Merkava. They also saw a tremendous Gilui Shekhinah. So, and Yechezkel also in his time saw a semblance of it. So therefore, that's the connection. Anyway, however, the Gemara says, "Lighti alav ma'arav." However, they criticized, or "lighti" literally means they cursed in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, anybody who follows that statement of Rabbi Alexandri, Mishum the Mechzi commander Kasogin the Kashna. Because then it looks, after all, people aren't going to realize that you're bowing to the Shekhinah, which is in the rainbow. People are going to think you're bowing to the rainbow, as if you're making the rainbow itself a god. So you shouldn't do that. Aval baruchi vade mivre. But there's no question that you should say a bracha when you see the rainbow. The point being, Maharsha says, the chiddush of that statement is, you shouldn't, so if you can't bow to, if you can't bow to the, in front of the rainbow, because it may look like you're bound to it, maybe by the same token, you shouldn't say a bracha when you see the rainbow, because it's going to look like you're saying a bracha to the rainbow. No, the Gemara is saying that that's not a problem. So what should you say as the bracha? So you say the bracha Baruch Zoicher Abris, blessed is Hashem who remembers his covenant with the world, that he promised not to bring a marble, and Hashem keeps his covenant. So in other words, Maharsha says you're not even saying, it's not even so much the rainbow itself that's important. You're saying the rainbow is only a symbol of Hashem's covenant. So now it doesn't look at all as though you're saying a bracha to the rainbow. The Masnisa Tana. Now in a Brisa, we learn Rabbi Shmuel Ben Yosef Abiyechim the Broika Omer Neman Mevrisa V'Kayim Ma'amoreh. The nusach of the bracha that you should say is that Hashem is faithful in His covenant and keeps His word. So Maharsha explains that the point of that bracha is V'Kayim Ma'amoreh means what? How does the rainbow come about in the first place? So in Pirkei Avos, we have that it was one of the things that Hashem created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. But later on, then Hashem put it as the symbol of the bris. So the point is that it already exists by Hashem's word ever since Sheishes Mei Bereishis. But now Hashem makes it appear at the appropriate time. So therefore, that's the Kayim Ma'amoreh. But Amar Papa, so now Papa says, Hilkach, since we have the stum of the Gemara saying Zeichar Abris, and a Braisa saying Nemen Ris and Kaim Ma'amore, Nemrin Lahula Tavayu, we should compromise and say both of them. So we say Baruch Zeichar Abris, Nemen Ris of a Kaim Ma'amore. So we say all three of them. And in fact, as Ben Yehoyada says, you know, you think about it, the rainbow has many colors, and appropriately, you have a many faceted bracha that you say on it. There's a famous verse that they say, I don't remember the marker of it, that says there are 10 places in Shas where the Papa does that, where you have a machloikas about how a certain bracha should be formulated. We're going to have one later on in our Gemara as well. And the Papa gives a compromise and says you should say all of them. Therefore, in the schus of that he brought shalom between the chachamim in 10 places is why he was zoicha to the 10 sons that we mentioned at a hadron, the chanunim ba'papa, rami ba'papa, etc. One explanation is they were in fact, so one explanation is they weren't the sons of Rapapa, they're the names of chachamim who are mentioned here and there in Shas from different generations. But there is an explanation that all 10 of them are in fact the sons of the Rapapa in our Gemara, and that was a schus because in 10 places he made shalom between the chachamim.
Cool.
Republic, because we're saying in 10 places he made a compromise like that on the Nusach of a Bracha. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said, Ala Horim Balag Voris, when you see mountains and hills, meaning particularly noteworthy mountains and hills, like you see, for example, the Rockies or the Alps or whatever, or Mount Everest or what have you, then you say, Oysa Mais Bereshis. So the Gemara asks, "Oti kol hani damor and hashalav ma'is bereshis ninu." So what do you mean? Everything else that was listed in the Mishnah until now is not something Hashem created at creation. V'aksiv brokim lamata also. After all, the pasuk says Hashem created lightning to go together with the rain, implying, in other words, that so all of them were created by Hashem. Why shouldn't you say Oysa Mais Bereshis in the same way on lightning, let's say? The Mishnah had said you say Shekofu Grosim Olam. Rabbi Kroich Betonim. So Rabbi says you're right. You have to combine them all together. That what you do is the Mishnah is listing a bunch of things that it says Oysa Mais Bereshis and a bunch of things that you say Shekofu Grosim Olam. And in fact, you combine them together and say that for each one of them, you say both of them. Because they show Hashem's power, and they also are things that Hashem created. Rava Amar, Rava says no. Hasim Mevarach Tauti, Baruch Shekoichud Mala Olam, Ve'oisim Ayis Bereshis. No, with the things that were listed until now in the Mishnah, you can say both. For example, you have thunder and lightning, or you have a particularly strong storm or whatever, then you can say either bracha. You can say shekoicho v'rasim ala olam, because they show Hashem's power, and they fill the world in the sense that they're experienced in many different places in the world. And you can say osamayis bereshis, because these are things that Hashem created during the 6 days of creation. Hacha, but here when we're talking about, for example, you see particular mountains or seas or oceans and so forth, that the Mishnah has a whole list of things. You can only say you cannot say on them, because how can you say they don't fill the world? There's only one place, there's only certain places you go in the world and you'll see these particular mountains. There's only certain places in the world where you'll go and you'll see this particular ocean, etc. So therefore, those you can only say Oisamayis Bereshis, as opposed to the other ones, you have your choice of Shekoichu Grasim Ala Olam or Oisamayis Bereshis, because they are experienced in different places all over the world. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, Haroya Rakia B'Tahar Rasa, if a person sees the sky in its purity, which the Gemara is going to explain in a second what that means, Oima Baruch Oisamayis Bereshis, then he also says the Baruchah Oisamayis Bereshis on that. A Masai, so what does that mean when you see the sky perfectly clear? When it was raining the entire night, in the morning the north wind comes, Istina is the Gemara's name for the north wind, and it clears up the sky, and now you have a completely clear sky. So therefore, so Marsha explains, in other words, it's now something new. It's as if, like, now you have the sky is like it was at Mais Bereshis. The sky was originally created without clouds. So now you have, then that's an appropriate time to say a bracha, like Hashem is recreating the sky as it was at Mais Bereshis. However, the Gemara says, "Pliga derachnam ba'papa." However, this explanation and this statement that you should say the bracha on that disagrees with Rafram Bapapa, Amr of Chista, in the name of Chista, the Amr Rafram Bapapa, Amr of Chista, Miyoim Shechara Beis Mikdash, ever since the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, the sky has never been seen perfectly clear. There's always clouds somewhere in it. Shanema, as the passage says, Alba Shemayim Tadrus, Hashem says, I clothe the heavens with darkness, the sack osim ksusam, and I make them covered with sackcloth. So in other words, so
right now in the Golos,
so right in the Golos, right in the time of Golos. So therefore, in other words, so the point is, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's and Abaye's explanation is something that you can have all the time. It happens very often. It rains all night, and then in the morning, usually, and then in the morning, the clouds clear up. But Rafamba Papa is telling us that no, even then, there are actually clouds somewhere in the sky. You may not notice them. They may be very small or insubstantial or whatever, but they're there, and therefore it's not the Targos. And in fact, the post can accept that, which is why we don't say that brach nowadays.
Why would you fly with a plane that runs 20,000
miles? It's true, then you see the sky clear, but even then, I guess, if you're not going to say the bracha here on earth, the pashtus, the chacham aren't going to be the sack and a bracha only when you're above the atmosphere. Yeah. Okay. So I guess even according to Rashi and Papa, we'll say it also lover. We'll say it when Mashiach comes. Okay. Tanan Abanan, the Gemara says, we also learn in a Braisa, Haroya Chama B'Tkufasa, when a person sees the sun in its Tkufa, which is, this is the Birkas HaChama that we have every 28 years, as the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines, Levona B'Gurasa, when a person sees the moon in its strength, and we'll explain in a second what that is, because Chavim B'Msiloysam, he sees the stars in their, the Chavim really means the planets, B'Msiloysam in their proper courses, or Mazolis Kisidran, or when he sees the mazolos in their proper, in the constellations in their proper order, so on all of those you say oisem ayisabereshes. The Rambam defines them as follows: chama b'tkufasa, the Gemara is going to explain in a second, is birkas acham. Levona b'gvurasa would be if at the beginning of the month, the first time the moon is visible, it's exactly at Mazel Tver, which is the first of the mazolos, and it's not like this. You have the moon different times of the year. It's found in different parts of the sky. Like this, you have that Rambam describes. If when the moon rises, it's exactly in Mazel Tver and not inclining, not any north or south of that, then that would be what the Gemara means by Levona b'gvurasa. So in other words, like this, Mazel Tver is a constellation. It's a group of stars. Any heavenly body, the sun, the moon, any of the planets, we can describe them as being in a certain mazel. In the sense, in other words, you look at that heavenly body, and as the background stars behind it, you see the stars of a particular constellation. So, for example, when we talk about, let's say, we say that the mazel of Nisan is Tver. What it means is that if you wake up in the morning to watch the sun rise during Nisan time, the background stars that you will see as the sun is rising are the stars of Mazel Tov. And then a month later, they'll be the ones of Mazel Shur. And a month later, of Mazel Toyman, and so forth. And so it circles like that, of course, the 12 mazolos of the eclipse. Nowadays, actually, the Rambam explains, and then modern science says also that they've shifted a little bit nowadays. When the sun rises, Nisan time, it's not in Tver, it's actually in Dovid, because things over time, over a period of thousands of years, things shift a little bit.
You see, when you get up in the morning,
you see the sun rising, for example. So you'll see during Nisan time, the sun is supposed to be rising in Mazel Tver. In English, it's called Aries. You'll see the background stars behind it are going to be the stars of that mazel. And similarly with the moon, when you look up in the sky and you see the moon, if you're familiar with the constellations, or if you have a good star map, or nowadays if you have an app for the purpose, then you can look up and it'll show you that the moon is located in the constellation such and such. In other words, the stars that you see in the background behind it and around it are the stars of such and such a constellation. So now the Rambam describes Levona, so Levona B'Gvurasa would mean if you see the moon rising and you see it exactly in front of Mazel Tver and not any north or south of that, then you would say the Bracha Osem Ayis Bereshis. So Birkas HaChama is a fixed schedule, as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Levona B'Gvurasa and the rest of these things, there are not. And in fact, the post can say, practically speaking, we don't make these brachas on these things because only it would take an expert astronomer to know when you have these exact conditions. The average person is not really going to be able to figure it out. So because Chavim B'Msiloysam, similarly, the Rambam explains, any of the planets, if you see Mercury or Venus or Mars or what have you, rising exactly in front of Mazel Tver, and again, not any north or any south of that, then that would be what it means by Kechavim and Siloysam. Mazolis Kisidron, that Rambam explains, means when you see Mazel Tver itself rising exactly in the east, which happens usually once a year, Nisan time. But again, the Post can say that practically speaking, since it's hard for the average person to know when these things take place, therefore we don't make the bracha. And anyway, the truth is there are actually different understandings among some of the Rishonim. The Aruch, for example, has a different definition of some of these things. So because of that, because of Sopet Barachas Bahakal, so we don't actually say the bracha. So the Gemara says the Emes Hadi. Now, as far as Chama B'Tkufasa, when does that take place? Amar Abaya Kol Chof Cheshnin, every 28 years, V'Hodr Machzer, when the Machzer repeats. Now, you have like this. For this purpose, we're considering. Now, the Rambam describes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that there are two different ways of, there are two different lengths that we can talk about the length of the solar year. A solar year is 365 days plus a few hours. How much is the few hours? So you have two different calculations that the Chachamim made. You have Shmuel's calculation, which says that the excess is exactly 6 hours. And then you have Rav Ada's calculation, which makes it about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes shorter than that. So now, following Shmuel's calculation, so we have like this. The beginning of every season is called the Tkufa. Officially, for example, Tkufas Nisan is when the sun is at 0 degrees in front of Mazel Tov, and Tkufas Tammuz would be when the sun is 90 degrees away from there in front of Mazel, and in front of Mazel Sartan, and so on and so forth, and each one, the appropriate one, Mazel Moznayim for Tishrei, and Mazel Gdi for Tevis. So that's the definition of the Tkufa. According to Shmuel, since the whole year is 365 days and 6 hours, and he also counts each Tkufa as being exactly the same length. Astronomically, it's not exactly like that, but that's the approximation that Shmuel uses, which we use for purposes of halacha. We also use it for the same halamata. So it comes out, therefore, if you have, let's say, 1 year, Tkufas Nisan is on, if 1 year, let's say Tkufas Nisan is Wednesday, 6 o'clock in the morning, the next year it's going to be a day and 6 hours later, because 365 days is 52 weeks in 1 day, so plus another 6 hours. So if it was Wednesday morning 1 year, then the next year Tkufas Nisan will be Thursday at noon. And the next year after that, it'll be Friday at 6 p.m. And the next one after that, it'll be midnight between Shabbos and Sunday, and so forth. So now, if you calculate like that, Abaya is saying, after 28 years, you're going to have, the Tkufa is going to be at the same time, it's going to be Tuesday at 6 p.m., which is the next point that he's going to say. Now, when Hashem created the sun and the moon, he created them on the fourth day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, the beginning of a day, we know by the Erev Vayivoker, you always have the evening first, then the morning. So therefore, when the Eibishter created the sun and the moon, he created them at on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. is when Wednesday is when the fourth day of Ma'aseh Bereishis began. Therefore, every 28 years since then, when according to Shmuel's calculation, the sun is again, the Tkufa is going to be again, the Tkufa, the official time when the sun is in front of Mazel Tov, is going to be the same time of the week, Tuesday at 6 p.m., then that is the time when we say Birkas HaChama, but we don't do it at night, we do it the following morning, we do it Wednesday morning, which is why Birkas HaChama is always Wednesday morning. The last one we have is Erev Pesach in Tavshin Samach Tes. The next one is scheduled to be in Tavshin Sadik Zayin. The Hebrew date varies from one time to the next, as it goes according to the secular, But it's always Wednesday, It's always, in this century, it's always April 8th. That's a whole nother matter, which I'm not even going to get into the details now. Over time, that gradually shifts. If anybody now is alive in the 22nd century, it'll actually be April 9th then. But that's another matter which we're not even going to get into now. That has to do with the same reason the same Talmudter moves over time, but whatever. Anyway.
So what you said about the year is 365 and a quarter day, 6 hours.
Right. So that's...
What does that mean as far as the sun moving around?
So 1 second. Okay. Now, the fact is, first of all, there's also Rav Ada's calculation. And Rav Ada's calculation, by the way, is the one we use for deciding when it should be a leap. We don't actually follow Shmuel's calculation as far as Birkas HaChama and also as far as the same Talmud. But as far as the layout of which years are regular years and which ones are leap years, for that actually we use Rav Ada's calculation because it's a little more accurate. According to Rav Ada's calculation, you wouldn't have Birkas HaChama because it doesn't run on a 28-year cycle like that. According to him, it would take thousands of years for it to come back to the same moment. And in fact, even Rav Ada's calculation is not perfectly accurate either. Astronomically, it's also about 6 minutes too long. So over time, which is exactly why these dates shift over time. But, yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is, it's the year is 365 and a quarter days.
Yeah.
So what does it mean? What the sun comes back to the same
place? So the sun comes back to the same place relative to the stars. The stars bear the moon. The stars of the constellations, like Tle and Shur and the rest of them, barely move. Like over a thousand of years, they might move a tiny bit. Because they're very far away. So from our vantage point, they don't look like they move. So relative to them, then, when the sun, when it returns to the same position relative to those stars, is what we're talking about. It's called the Tkufa. So, and Abaya finishes off, Behodr Machzor, so the Machzor repeats, it's Machzor of 28 years, the Nufla, Tkufas Nissen, the Shabsai, and that Tkufas Nissen comes out during the hour of Shabsai, which is Be'ursa de Tlas, on the evening following Tuesday, Nagidalet, going into Wednesday. So we have, there's an idea that the seven major heavenly bodies that we see move, the sun and the moon, and the five, and five of the planets, down, up to and including Saturn. The Gemara mentions in various places that each one of those has a shlita, each one of those has a certain influence of the, over the world for 1 hour, and then the next one takes over. This is the basis of why we don't make Kiddush between 6 and 7 on Friday night, because it comes out that that hour, based on this calculation, is the hour of Mad, is the hour of Mars, and that's an inappropriate time to bring in Shabbos. When Madim is associated with war and disaster and whatever. So what it is, for example, Friday night, let's say, between 6 and 7 is the hour of Madim. Then after that would be the hour of the next Mazel. After that would be the Mazel. After that would be the hour of Chama. And after that of Noiva and so forth. Until it keeps on going. It keeps on rotating around the week. Both during the day and during the night. Yeah, we're not talking about 20 each, yeah. What it is you have 24 hours in a day, and you have 7 days in a week. So each one of the mazolas has a shlita 24 times during the week. It so happens that the Madim comes out on the first hour of the night of Friday night, which is why we don't make Kiddush. So now Abaya is saying, but
it's only Friday night. It's only Friday night.
Yeah.
Every day, 24 hours.
Yeah.
The 6 day of the week, it's 4.
Yeah. By the way, here's an interesting thing to realize about it. The names that we use in English for the days of the week are actually based on that system as well, except that using the German names for the various gods that they associated with these planets. If you look at the calculation, the way the Gemara lays it out, the first hour of the morning on Sunday, the Mazel that's in charge is the sun, therefore Sunday. The next day it's the moon, therefore Monday. The next day it's Mars. In many languages, Spanish, for example, they call it Martes. They call Tuesday Martes. In English, we call it Tuesday because that was the German name for the god that they associated with Mars. Wednesday Mercury, Thursday, and then for example, in Spanish they call it Miraculous. Thursday Jupiter. Friday Venus. And Shabbos Saturn, which is why in English it's called Saturday. So it actually uses the same system as the Gemara is talking about over here, to name the days of the week. Anyway, so Abaya is saying the first hour of the night between 6 and 7 on Tuesday night is one of the hours during the week of Shabsai. Therefore, he's describing when the Tkufa is at the beginning of the hour of Shabsai on Tuesday, which is Saturn, on Tuesday night going into Wednesday, that happens once every 28 years, that is the time when you say Birkas Hama the following morning.
Wednesday.
On Wednesday morning. You can't say it by night because the sun's already setting. So instead you say it the following morning when you see the sun in its glory. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. There's a lot of books that have been published about this. A lot of them, of course, are published on 28-year intervals because comes Birkas Hama every time and there's a flurry of interest in all this. Yeah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Chof Gimel Tevis. So La'osid Lover, it says that Shemin Esri will be, Bekil Ram will be louder. So the Torah explains that nowadays we daven quietly. Only nowadays, when Nukva, when the feminine is Makabel, not Mashpia, La Osid Lover, when Nukva will be elevated and become the Mashpia, then Shemana Esra will be out loud. Then we'll hear the Kol Kala. Because we say Kol Chosam, the Kol Kala. Nowadays we don't hear the Kol Kala, but we will. So Torah Chiyun, the Rebbe says, since our Pnimis Torah, the whole reason for davening quietly is that's what davening is supposed to be, because the bittul of Metzius, and that's the true meaning of what Tfilas Amida is all about, Kineged Olam Atzilus. How could it be that La'osid Lave we're going to be davening out loud, which is Hepech HaBittul? So the explanation will continue tomorrow, Rebbe.
Yeah, well, you said about, I will count it.
Let's do a halacha right now, because it's getting late, and then you can ask me afterwards. Okay, a halacha. We're talking about the halachas of brachas achronis on food. On radishes, you say berta pri hadama. On garlic and onions also, if they're soft and you can eat them raw, even though usually you only eat them with bread, but even if you eat them without bread, you would still say hadama. But once they got older and then they're very sharp and you don't normally eat them raw, so if a person does eat them raw, then he would say shakoma.
What is that?
Garlic. He says garlic and onions. Let's say, for example, if you eat scallions, you would say hadama. It would say hadama on them. Because normal to eat scallions raw. But if, let's say, you take a mature onion and the onion you bite into it, then you would say shakol.